I wanted to take a quick pause tonight from my regular business meeting devotions of looking at Christ in the Old Testament, and to keep progressing through our study that we've begun on Wednesday nights of Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17. And one of the reasons why I wanted to do that is because tonight's section of Scripture is immensely encouraging, and I wanted to share it all with you without delaying for a week. And I've titled this series, That the Son Might Glorify You. And this is taken from verse 1 of John 17, where Jesus prays to his Father, glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. This really is what's at the heart of this prayer in John 17 and at the heart of Jesus himself. It is a driving passion for the glory of his Father here on earth. And in this prayer, Jesus unfolds the three ways that he plans on doing just that, and that is through his cross in verses 1 through 5, through his companions in verses 6 through 19, and through his church in verses 20 through 26. We've already looked at, as a church, verses 1 through 5, at Jesus' plan to glorify his Father through the cross, and now we're turning our eyes to verses 6 through 19, where Jesus starts unveiling his plan to glorify his Father through his companions, his 11 faithful apostles. See, starting in verse 6, Jesus' prayer takes on an intercessory role, thus giving us a dim picture, when I was thinking about it, of the glory of Christ's current ministry of intercession that he is engaged in right now. Romans 8:34 tells us, who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died, more than that, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. And again, Hebrews 7:25 says he always lives to make intercession for us. So Christ is right now in heaven interceding on our behalf. But the nature of that work, the content and the focus of it, we don't really have described for us anywhere in Scripture. The closest that we have into what Christ's intercessory ministry looks like is right here in John 17, starting in verse 6 and on. As Christ begins to intercede for his own. And we started to see that back in verses 6 through 9a, where we examined the center of Jesus' intercession. In other words, who is Jesus focused on praying for? And what we saw is that Jesus prays for believers, for those whom, as Jesus describes, are gifts of love from the Father to the Son, as those who are obedient to God's word and believe the truth. This is the center of Christ's intercession. It is who he's focused on praying for. Tonight I want us to consider together, though, the cause of Christ's intercession. Why is he focused on praying for them? And we'll see that tonight from John chapter 17, verses 9 through the beginning of verse 11. But before I go any further, let's read together John 17, 6 through 19. John records the words of Jesus, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word that is set before us this evening. Father, we pray that you would encourage us through seeing even ourselves through the heart of Christ. Father, I pray that you would help us to see ourselves as you see us, And that, Father, we would be encouraged by that this evening to engage in the worship of Jesus as we ought to. And Father, I pray that we would be swept up in the same passion that Jesus had, that is to give you honor and glory here on earth, for that is why we exist and have been created. Give us grace towards this end, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So after Jesus clarifies what is the center of his intercession, of who he's praying for, he then states the cause of Christ's intercession at the end of verse 9 into the beginning of verse 11. He tells us why he prays for them. And it all begins in verse 9 when he states, I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me. I want you to think that this is an awesome statement that Jesus makes. Is Jesus in heaven interceding for the world? Is Jesus right now praying down grace and strength and wisdom and peace and blessings for the unsaved? No. Jesus says, I am praying for them, right? Believers, I am not praying for the world. Now, does Jesus care for the unsaved? The answer is obviously yes, right? He upholds the universe they live in by the word of his power, and he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends his rain on the just and the unjust, as Matthew 5:45 states. As he lay dying on the cross, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Throughout his ministry, Jesus offered the blessings of salvation to absolutely everyone. But Jesus applies the blessings of salvation only to those who receive him. And one of the blessings of salvation is to have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, as 1 John 2:1 says. Incidentally, look over, if you look at verses 20 through 21, which we'll look at more next week, Jesus prays, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. Why? So that the world may believe that you have sent me. So when Jesus wants to pray for the salvation of souls, you know what he does? He prays for you and me. Because it is only through our lives and our testimonies and our faithful witness that Jesus has chosen to offer the message of salvation to the world. That's heavy, right? But it's true. That's exactly what is said in 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20. It says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their transgressions against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. You see, if you are gripped with the need for the lost to know Christ, yes, pray, but how will God bring them to faith in Christ? It is through the actions of his people. When Jesus desires to address the salvation of unsaved souls, he prays for you and me, even then. Why? Well, here we see the two causes for Christ's intercession. Why does Jesus focus on praying for us? Well, first, it's because we belong to God. That's at the end of verse 9 and beginning of verse 10. Jesus says, I am praying for them, for those whom you have given me. Why? He says, for they are yours. All mine are yours and yours are mine. So Jesus is saying here, they are yours. So we belong to the Father. All mine are yours and yours are mine. We belong to the Son. It's just like we saw last week. We are love gifts promised to and given by the Father to the Son, for the Son to then give back to the Father one day so that God would be all in all. We belong to the Father, we belong to the Son, and I just want to remind you that later in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 6:19, we find out that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. So listen, believers, we are the treasured possessions of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they treasure us, they claim us as their own. This is remarkably encouraging to remember, as we live our lives here on earth, because you see, this world places very little value on people like us. They look on followers of Jesus Christ as uneducated, as backwards, as stupid. Why, even a scientist stated in a national debate several years ago that Christians are a danger to society. Remember what the Pharisees said of John the Baptist when he began ministering in John 1. He said, why are you baptizing, right? They were asking him, what are your credentials, right? Where's your graduate diploma? Who gave you the right, you backwoods country preacher? And remember what they said of the disciples in Acts 4, verse 13, that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. The world often looks at us as nobodies with no value at all, the scum of all the earth, as Paul said. They always have, but guess what? They're wrong. We are treasures of the eternal God, and we need to remember that. We are counted among those in Hebrews 11, verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. And this has nothing to do with us at all. It is simply to do with the value and the love and the grace that God has put on us. John the Apostle never got over this. His 1 John 3:1 states, behold what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. We belong to God. And that ought to be one of the greatest encouragements that we cling to in our lives. That's why it's thrilling to sing songs like, Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Or, his forever his, who the Lord and me shall part. Ah, with what a rest of bliss Christ can fill the loving heart. Heaven and earth may fade and flee, firstborn light and gloom decline, but while God and I shall be, I am his and he is mine. But while God and I shall be, I am his and he is mine. Jesus prays for us because we belong to him. We're in his charge and he treasures us as his own possession. The second reason why Jesus prays for us that ought to encourage us tonight is because we glorify Christ. I want you to notice that Jesus says there, the end of verse 10, he says, and I am glorified in them. Now, why would that be an interest to Jesus? Is it because he's selfish? No, we've already looked at that earlier in this prayer, right? It's because Jesus has already said that when he is glorified, back in verse 1, his Father is glorified through him. And that's ultimately why Jesus prays for you and me. He doesn't pray for us because we're the most important thing to him. He prays for us because the glory of his Father is the most important thing to him. And as we glorify Jesus in this world, then the Father is glorified in this world as well. And so Jesus prays for us because we glorify him. And we glorify him here on earth where Jesus wants his Father to be glorified. Jesus says in verse 11, I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world and I am coming to you. In other words, Jesus says, I'm leaving. My bag's already packed. I'm ready to go. And so if I'm going to be glorified and if you're going to be glorified through me on this earth, then listen to this. It's going to have to be through them that are on the earth. And so he prays for us. He prays because it is only through us believers, the church, that Christ's glory and his Father's glory will radiate out clearly in this world. This is why the church is the most essential institution on the face of the earth. It is why it is the most important. It is because through the church, the Father has chosen to glorify himself here on earth. As Ephesians 3:20-21 states, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory where? In the church and in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever, and amen. That's what Jesus is praying for here. He is praying that the Father, through the Son, would be glorified in this world through us who are his people. And isn't that exactly what Jesus taught? Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You know, sometimes we might think, you know, it's so sad that Jesus is gone. I mean, we could really use his glory in this world right now, couldn't we? What this world really needs to see is the glory of Jesus. Well, I want you to know, according to this prayer, Jesus' glory never left this world. You know where it dwells? Where the glory of Christ is found? It's found in the church, in whom the Spirit of Christ dwells. Through us, Jesus shines, and his glory ought to shine out all the more as we walk day by day with him. Remember 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," is shown into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that's the glory of God there is seen shining out of our hearts. And that's why he says in verse 7, we have this treasure in jars of clay. The glory of Christ has been placed within us and radiates out of us, even though we're just jars of clay. That is a privilege. And that's why we're called to, in 2 Corinthians 3:18, to behold with unveiled face the glory of the Lord every day in his word, so that we can be transformed to the same image from one degree of glory to another. Because if reading God's word makes me a brighter vessel for the glory of God in this world, then sign me up. Because that's a privilege, to be the light of Christ's glory in this world. It's a privilege and a responsibility. As Philippians 2:15-16 states, you shine as lights in this world by holding fast the word of Christ. And so this is the cause for Christ's intercession. Why does he pray for us? Why does he pray for us? It's because we belong to him and we bring him honor and glory. I want to encourage you, believer, from these words, Jesus' prayer, that God loves you so very much. Never doubt that. You are a divine gift of love, and you are his treasured possession. And you are the unique vessel for his glory to this world. And doubly so when we meet together. It is this undying love that makes Jesus say in John 10:28-29, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hands. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Jesus reminds us that in this prayer. He ever lives to make intercession for us. What love, what treasure, and what glory is ours? We don't deserve it. So before we get started with our business meeting, let's thank the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the heart of Christ. We thank you that because his heart beat for your honor and glory, that he then prays for us. And Father, we do pray that we would be instruments for your glory here on earth. Help us, Father, to reflect your glory and your character to a watching world. And as I think of next week when we dive into the actual requests that Jesus prays for on behalf of us, Father, I pray that those prayers, those requests would be actualized in our lives, clearer and clearer until the day that Jesus returns, so that you would receive the honor and the glory and the praise that you deserve from your people here on earth. Help us to be about the same mission of Jesus, Father, we pray in Jesus' name.